Good afternoon, everyone. We're letting people get in. I'll call the meeting to order in about a minute or so we can get people in from the waiting room. If you are an EA voting member, please rename yourself with an EA before your name so that we know who you are and for attendance purposes. Can you hear us at least, Yvonne? Are you gonna call in? Okay. So, thanks again for everyone who is joining us. Again, if you're an EA voting member, please put EA before your name so that we have it for attendance and voting purposes. This meeting is being recorded for public record, and there may be press attending the meeting, so be mindful of that. Chat is not entered in the public record, so if you wish for it to be recorded, please raise your hand to be recognized. And if we do have something that needs a vote, we will use the green check mark for yes, the red X for no, and the gray slowdown for abstain. I'm actually gonna see if Yvonne can get in and do roll call. If not,
Can you hear me?
yeah.
Awesome.
Okay.
Cool.
All right, and that said, I'm going to go ahead and call to order this meeting of the Employee Assembly on Wednesday, January 21st, 2026. Yvonne, if you could do roll call, please.
Absolutely. Hi, everyone. If you hear your name, if you can please acknowledge that you're here, I would greatly appreciate that. Victoria Bell.
Here.
Marcy Benda.
Present.
Jennifer Best.
Present.
Adam Blakesley.
Present.
Ricky Boche. Gladys
Here.
Brangman. Sean Chang.
Present.
Carl Cornell.
Present.
Erica Crawley. Alicia Erickson.
Present.
Danielle Hill.
Present.
Rose Howard.
Present.
Kyle Carnuta. Ellie Crump Powers.
I'm here.
Yvonne, I'm sorry. I think this is Bethany. I don't know if I missed my name, but I'm present.
Thank you, Bethany. Sorry, did Ellie say they were here? Ellie Crump Powers?
Yep, I'm here.
Thank you. Sophie Lanches. Yelverton Lucane.
Present.
David McDermott. Yeah, mentors. Anne Morris.
Present.
Stephanie Rasu.
Present.
Matthew Schneider. Michelle Stefanski Seymour.
Yvonne, she's here, but she doesn't have a microphone, but she's on.
Thank you. Kate Supra. Deb Serene.
Present.
Wendy Treat.
Present.
Danielle Weirson.
Present.
Nikki Williams.
Here.
Awesome. I believe I got everyone. Thanks, y'all.
Awesome. Thanks, Yvonne. For the land acknowledgement, Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayakono, the Kuyukan Nation. The Gayakono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary past presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gayakono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gayakono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. We are now going to do the approval of the December 17th, 2025 meeting minutes. I actually have a couple of friendly amendments. So under business of the day, the committee discussion, we aren't adding a committee to the employee assembly. It was just that there is the health promoting campus committee and it was looking for a volunteer. So I really would like to get that corrected in the notes to make sure that it doesn't imply that we're adding a committee to the employee assembly. And then also under open discussion, item 8, where it says R. Howard and I, Solis Cruz, reported they have discussed and chosen a staff member to receive the Employee of the Year award. It's not a staff member, it's a group, and it's the Employee Assembly Appreciation Award. So I just want to make sure that those two friendly amendments are recognized and made. So I would welcome a motion to second and approve by unanimous consent.
I
With
motion
friendly
to.
amendments.
For the friendly men, yeah, for the friendly amendments, not for the meeting minutes.
I motion to approve by unanimous consent with the friendly amendments.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Do I have any
Dissent.
what about dissent? Oh my gosh, that's the word I'm looking for. Do I have any dissent? All right, seeing none, those friendly amendments have been made. If there isn't anything else, I would love to welcome my motion to approve the minutes of the December 17th, 2025 meeting minutes by unanimous consent.
I motion to approve the minutes by unanimous consent.
Do I have a second?
I'll
Seconded.
second.
Do I have any dissent? Seeing none, our minutes from that meeting are approved. I'm now going to call for late additions to the agenda. If there are any, please raise your hand to be recognized. Yes, Carl.
I'd like to make sure that the Employee Assembly Priorities Poll Committee is added to the official committee list so that way I can do reports when that comes up.
Spectacular. We will add you after Elections Committee and before liaison reports. Does that work for you?
That sounds wonderful. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. Do I have any dissent on adding that? I don't think I need to vote or anything like that. No dissent. Okay, we'll add you after Elections Committee, Carl. Thanks. Are there any other late additions to the agenda? All right, seeing none, we will move into our business of the day. We are more than happy to welcome Michelle Arteby, who is Director of Workforce Wellbeing, with us. She also is our most recent George Peter Award for Dedicated Service recipient. So, congratulations again to you, Michelle. She is joining us and giving us a presentation, as you can see, on employee well-being. Michelle, it's over to you.
Thanks so much, Wendy. And my very first question is, at what time are you taking the shepherd's hook to get me to be quiet? What's my official stop time?
Typically, we'll give you about 20 minutes for a presentation
Okay.
and then a few minutes for, questions and Q&A afterwards. So you have until 12:30.
All right, great. Thanks, Wendy. Thank you all for having me today. I appreciate it. As Director of Workforce Wellbeing, I have responsibility for three primary teams, Work Life, the Faculty and Staff Assistance Program, and Cornell Wellness. But I also happen to lead the health promoting campus work occurring on the workforce end as well. So while I'm presenting today, please know that the staff of our teams are the folks on the front lines providing these various services and are so critical to the work that we do. And I also appreciate that so many people work in departments across campus that support the health and well-being of campus, even if it's not under the guise of a health promoting campus initiative. And that's inclusive of advisory committees such as the Employee Assembly. I struggled a bit on paring down this presentation as there's so much information that I could share. So for today's kind of short period, I'll give you an overview of health promoting campus commitment and the structure that we're following, as well as some reminders and highlights about supportive programs that are available. I would just encourage you to think, even if it's a program or a resource that you're familiar with, please consider whether your constituents might know about it and how you might be helpful in spreading information so that others can learn about it. I'll share the slides afterwards so that you may revisit them. You're welcome to use the content in the slides. And lastly, please don't hesitate to follow up with me if you have any questions or you would like to learn more on any of these topics. I do ask that you hold questions until the end, or if you are putting them in chat, know that I'm not going to stop and answer them until we get to the Q&A time toward the end. The terms well-being and wellness often get used pretty interchangeably, and I think it is helpful to differentiate the two. Well-being is referring to a positive physical, mental, spiritual, and social state that's experienced by individuals, communities, and societies. It is always changing due to whatever's happening in the world and in our environments, our employers, the economy, ecosystems, things along those lines. The wellness term and wellness industry is typically presented as multidimensional, but uniquely and individually experienced in its subjective state that allows for the development of a whole person. We do have more well-being related definitions available at the Health Promoting Campus website that I encourage you to check out. As a professional in this field, it's really important to me that we're being real with ourselves about the challenges that we in organizations and our country face. If you hang out on LinkedIn, you may have seen the term well-being washing. And what that's referring to is the implying that individual well-being programs or self-care can help you take care of yourself, and just that's enough to overcome or to make up for unhealthy environments or conditions. And it is so critical that we look beneath the surface to understand root causes, challenges, barriers, while we're also doing what we can to sustain ourselves and our communities and working to improve those things from a ground level. If you've done any reading on psychological safety in the workplace and psychological well-being, the primary drivers actually have to do with predictability of your schedule, transparency among your team and with your supervisor, getting meaningful feedback, getting recognized. Those things are all so important. And programs that support people's mental health, such as the FSAP, are also critical, but are often used in response to challenges that people are encountering. It is a hard time, and uncertainty is not a sufficient word. If I hear it's an uncertain time one more time, I might lose my mind. The threats to people's livelihood is very real right now. And I like to share the term polycrisis because it's something that a lot of people are unaware of. A polycrisis is when multiple crises are happening at the same time or one right after another. And when combined, they actually worsen each other. The reality is that there is collective trauma being experienced, unlike anything that we've seen. And it is very normal to experience a wide range of emotions with all of this happening. And so while I'm going to be presenting about, our positive work in the health promoting campus arena, when I'm going to be promoting resources that are available, I just want you to know and understand that the professionals that do this work at Cornell really understand and appreciate the complexity and the reality that many folks are navigating right now. I also want to note that well-being, DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, as well as sustainability and planetary health are deeply connected. I could fill weeks of topics and workshops on how these issues are interconnected. But I think it's really important that we work on these issues collaboratively, which we do at Cornell, not just under the Health Promoting Campus framework, but because of the wonderful collaboration of the individuals that do this work in these departments day in and day out. And I just want to call that out and how important it is that we not be addressing these issues in isolation. And that really speaks to Cornell's commitment to having a health promoting campus. Back in 2022, then President Martha Pollack, as well as other leaders such as CHRO at the time, Christine Lovely, Vice President Ryan Lombardi, Lisa Nishi, Catherine Bohr, all signed on to the International Okanagan Charter for Health Promoting Campuses. And the tagline is People, Places, and Planet. In the Okanagan Charter, it states that health promoting universities and colleges transform the health and sustainability of our current and future societies, strengthen communities, and contribute to the well-being of people, places, and the planet. Sounds a little lofty, doesn't it? But what really is a health promoting campus? It aspires to infuse health into all that it does, and this is according to the charter. Fosters a campus culture of compassion, well-being, equity, and social justice, improves the health of the people who live, learn, work, play, and love here, and strengthens the ecological, social, and economic sustainability of communities and the wider society. I should pause for a moment and just explain that the International Okanagan Charter was created when almost 400 researchers from across the world, higher ed institution leaders, mental health experts, came together at a summit to really discuss what role can universities and colleges play in supporting health promotion, both for the people within it, the communities that they reside, and the broader planet. And together, they came up with this international charter that institutions could sign on to. Our vision at Cornell is to create and sustain a diverse, welcoming, and inclusive culture in which our students, staff, and faculty can flourish. This culture is supportive of holistic individual, social, and ecological well-being. You can read more about our vision and mission at the Health Promoting Campus website, along with some of those other terms that I mentioned. There are some key principles in advancing this work, and I really do encourage you to look at the actual charter itself. It's not overwhelming, it's not super lengthy, but it helps to explain what this commitment is about. And some of the principles that are identified in the charter is that it's comprehensive, that we look at whole systems approaches, that it's participatory, that we invite in and listen to the voices of staff, faculty, and students. That is transdisciplinary, and we have cross-sector partnerships across campus, across our communities, with other institutions, that we're evidence-informed with a focus on research and innovation, and that we take a strengths-based approach. What are we doing well, and how can we continue to magnify and grow that? That we're inclusive of local and Indigenous communities, the context, and the priorities. And one of the core principles is that we have a universal responsibility by the very nature of what we do within our campus environments. But how do we advance this work from a structural perspective? We have two advisory groups, and all of this falls under kind of this umbrella of community of practice. That's kind of the umbrella term that the Okanagan Charter uses in defining kind of all of the different individuals that are advancing the work within the organization and the structure with which we set up to help that advance. So we have two different advisory groups. One is the Workforce Wellbeing Core Advisory Committee, which I chair, and the Student Wellbeing Council, which is chaired by Julie Edwards, Vice President at Cornell Health. Up until recently, the Workforce Wellbeing Core Advisory Committee had three different subcommittees that were time limited and focused on specific recommendations in the areas of mental health, healthy environments, things along those lines. And they issued recommendations at the time to Vice President Christine Lovely. After some research, we have found from other institutions that have implemented various structures that having a segmented approach to workforce and student well-being provides some or causes some missed opportunities for us to advance issues in a more integrated fashion. For instance, how faculty and staff well-being is and the nature of the support and the language that we use and all of that absolutely impacts students and vice versa. So a decision was made that we would still continue to have these core advisory groups. However, we would have subcommittees that were shared that would have representatives from both of these advisory groups, as well as volunteers across our campus community, even folks such as yourselves who perhaps don't want to serve on an advisory group, but are interested in serving on one of the subcommittees. You can see here six different subcommittees: research and evaluation, policies and practices, belonging and connection, personal and professional development, supportive environments, and services and resources. These have been standing committees on the Student Wellbeing Council's end, and now they're being expanded to be inclusive of workforce-related matters. You may have concern, as I did, about whether joining forces actually waters down or diminishes focus on specific constituencies. And we're very sensitive and aware of that, and looking at how the framework within these subcommittees can support kind of a divide and conquer approach, as well as collaborative approach to advancing recommendations, best practices, spotlighting successes, things along those lines. And then we also have various champions at Cornell. A good example of this is our HR Wellbeing Liaisons group. And shout out to Jennifer Best, your EA-ILR representative. Jennifer serves as our HR Wellbeing Liaison in ILR and serves as a bridge between our centralized wellbeing teams and our college, the ILR schools, employees, and bringing programming to them. Every college and unit has an HR well-being liaison, and I'll include the link to those in the follow-up email. So if you don't know whose yours is, I encourage you to get in touch with them. We are also looking at building a framework for well-being champions, and that would be anyone on campus who really has a passion and an interest in championing employee well-being, even without outside of the nature of their day-to-day work, but want to host different opportunities within their college or organize group discussions or community walks and things of that nature. So more to come there. If you have any interest in serving on the advisory groups or the committees, I ask that you reach out to me directly, and I'd love to have a conversation with you about what that might involve. The committees are kind of being, as I said, restructured right now, and meetings will be kicking off later next month. So it's a great opportunity to join and help be a part of crafting kind of the purpose and the mission for each of those subcommittees. The hope is that by using a whole systems approach with all constituencies of stakeholders, that everyone will understand the role that they play in supporting well-being at Cornell. that will be able to drive action-oriented implementation, that recommendations will be going forward in a unified front to our leadership, that will foster inclusive participation and as well as partnerships, and document our progress and some of the lessons that we've learned to address the challenges, both current and future, and strive each day to improve well-being for people, places, and the planet. That's a bit about the structure, but everyone has a role in supporting employee well-being at Cornell. And these are just a couple simple reminders with links to resources about how we show up each and every day in supporting the well-being of our colleagues at Cornell. And I know this is, since I know so many of you, a very compassionate, committed bunch to supporting staff. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for all that you do in advocating for staff and supporting them. Just a few of the examples of recent university initiatives and investments that, in my view, absolutely support our health promoting campus commitment. In no way, my highlighting these is not any indication of that our teams had ownership over them. Many individuals have been involved in advancing this work. You may be familiar with the Tompkins County Community Child Care Growth Initiative. I believe I've presented on this in the past to the Employee Assembly. This is an investment of $1.86 million over the span of 5 years to help grow community child care, which is a tremendous challenge for our workforce in navigating here in Tompkins County. The university added floating holidays a year ago. The President's Awards for Employee Excellence now have a health promoting campus category. My colleague Cassandra Joseph launched workforce affinity groups using Viva Engage, in addition to the outstanding colleague network groups that exist on campus. We have an annual summer well-being adventure that brings together employees and students in celebrating all that summer has to offer in our community. There have been many investments in planetary health and sustainability, including the Child Care Center heat pump project. And you may be interested in learning more about the Cornell Bridge to Employment program, which helps to reduce barriers for community members that are seeking employment at the university. I won't speak in detail to that, but I think it's something that you'd be interested in learning more about. These are just snippets. There are so many other things happening, and including through research that's occurring across campus, that really tie to our vision and our mission of being a health-promoting campus. Now, to switch gears just for a moment to kind of navigating and finding resources at Cornell, included a URL that has a website you can navigate with all the different resources, but you can also download a 32-page PDF of the resources, benefits, and perks of working at Cornell. If you forget about it, all you have to do is Google Cornell Wellbeing and you'll be able to find it. We also, every other week, send an email to our HR well-being liaisons that they forward on to staff and faculty about upcoming events and programs. We're actually working to transition this to an automated email that will go to faculty and staff that the college or unit has opted everyone into. The college and unit will have that opportunity to make that decision, and we're very hopeful that most will make the decision to have all employees receiving this message. I realize I'm coming down to the wire, so I'm just going to spotlight our work-life team, which provides consultations on topics of pregnancy, childcare, older adult caregiving, resources for retiree engagement, lactation support. Cornell Wellness is available, and your main takeaway is that there are many free services that do not require a membership through Cornell Wellness. A membership is only required if you're accessing the fitness centers or other perks. Health and well-being consultations, nutrition consultations, workshops, all of those things are free of charge and open to the Cornell community, and that's endowed and contract college. The Cornell Faculty and Staff Assistance Program provides free confidential counseling services in person and via telehealth. Wei Kwong Wong, the director, will be coming to present to the EA, I believe, in March, and I'll be joining him to talk a little bit more about mental health. I just want to quickly mention that augmenting FSAP is Bree Health Confidential Counseling Services. And why is this important? Because Bree Health can serve employees located in all of the United States, whereas FSAP can only for New York State-based individuals. This is free to benefits-eligible employees. And on this more boring slide, I want you to pay attention to this because it links to a resource, a PDF, and a web page that outlines with specificity how to use your endowed or contract college health plan to find a mental health provider that is in network. I've been very pleasantly surprised as an endowed employee logging into Aetna to find many of the resources that are available. And we've also seen some growth on the contract college end through Talkspace by Carelon offering up more opportunities. The EA is very familiar with the CARE Fund, so I'm not going to go into details about that, but our team does have responsibility for overseeing the management of that. Okay. You know, I talked about these systemic realities in the beginning, the challenges that folks are facing, and it is important that we are caring for ourselves in this moment in time. So I just want to encourage you, from one employee to another, to make sure that you're getting the rest that you need, that you're taking time away from work to the best of your ability. One of my favorite things to point out is well-being multipliers. You know, what are things that you can do that support your well-being in a variety of ways? And one of my favorites used to be dancing with my daughter in the kitchen, getting a little physical activity while also enjoying connecting with her. Okay. Our brains absolutely need breaks. We don't get enough of them. There's an interesting research study on what happens with our brain activity when we don't take breaks between meetings. So check out this research. And I'd like to remind you that there are lots of different types of rest, not just sleep. There's mental rest and sensory, using your creativity, getting some spiritual connection, social connection. All of these things can be very helpful to restoring ourselves during difficult times. So if you have any questions, you need help, reach out. Help's available. There's some links to various departments here, both within kind of my umbrella as well as outside, like the Cornell Ombudsman's Office and the Office of Civil Rights, which is the updated name for the Office of Title IX. So with that, I'm going to stop. I'm going to take a look at the chat, see what questions have come in, and also invite you to ask questions live as well. Thanks so much for your time
Great.
and focus.
Thanks for that, Michelle. I appreciate it. And I utilize probably a good like 80% of things that you spoke about during this. I did want to mention to the EA membership, the Health Promoting Campus, the Policies and Practices Committee is one that we have been reached out to directly as Employee Assembly, and it was before winter break, and I sent the information out. So that's actually what we were referring to in our December 17th meeting. Like I said, not a new committee, not a new EA committee, but it's EA representation on that subcommittee. So I just wanted to clarify that for all. And also, yes, the Director of Faculty and Staff Assistance Program will be joining us on March 18th to give a presentation. He had to reschedule a couple of times for things. So yeah, in the chat, thank you for that question, Allison, about getting involved with the subcommittees or the work groups. As Michelle said, just contact her directly if you're interested. And at this time, if we have any other questions, comments, feedback for Michelle, please raise your hand to be recognized.
While you're working on raising your hands, I'll just say we are updating the Health Promoting Campus website with more details on this re the restructured committees. And because we're in the process of doing that, it is easiest if you just reach out to me directly for right now. But our intention is to be very public with folks about the various opportunities to get involved and how to do that without having to know the person to contact.
So does anyone have anything for Michelle? Great. Thanks, Allison. Like I said, I will definitely echo everything Michelle said in the, well-being is super, super, super important, especially in the times that we've been experiencing lately. So please, by all means, be sure to look out for others, but also look out for yourself as well. Yeah, if we don't have any questions or anything for Michelle, we'll give you a couple minutes back of your day. We do appreciate it. I did just send you an email, Michelle, if you could share the slide deck with us, so we could put it with our meeting packet. That would be helpful. And again, there's a lot of useful information and links in the slide deck, so that would be helpful. So yes, thank you very much again for joining us. Do appreciate it. Yeah, Danielle, I just said slide deck with links will be coming,
No,
hopefully from Michelle.
I heard. I just wanted to be sure because the slide deck, we don't, a lot of things aren't clickable.
Oh, yeah. All right. We are going to move to our next item on business of the day. And I will kick this over to Danielle as our Vice Chair of Operations and Finance.
So we have an incidental vacancy that has occurred due to personal circumstances outside of Cornell. We now are looking to fill our health and safety representative. We have someone potentially interested in the role, but they are not available today. We can discuss at the next meeting, but if you are interested, if you know anyone who is interested that satisfies that role, please have them contact me, or the executive committee in general so that we can contact them about speaking with us at the next meeting.
Awesome. Thank you. The next item on the business of the day, we are going to have our next employee assembly co-worker coffee. Excuse me. It'll be held on Wednesday, March 11th. I hope I got that date right. Yeah, it's between our two March meetings from 11 to 12. We haven't decided the location yet. Once we do, we'll be sure to notify you. I'm going to put out a plea to have more EA membership or members present at that outside of our regular. Typically seems to be like the executive committee and one or two others. If we can have people show up and be there and be available, if people are at the if we have staff that are at the coworker coffee, just to answer questions or give more information about the employee assembly itself, this actually will be probably the coworker coffee. It's actually during our voting session or our spring elections, so it might be we might see an uptick in attendance. So again, I would just ask please for individuals from the EA, if you're available, to please attend. Yes, Yvonne.
Another thing, another ask is that if you have the opportunity or you have access to listservs within your colleges or units, you have the date. We're still exploring the location, but please share it widely so that we can also welcome your colleagues and they can learn a little bit more about the EA and how we can support them.
Yes, and also please feel free, always share this information with your constituent groups as well. The information does typically come out in the Employee Assembly Voice, but since we're giving you kind of the heads up right now, again, like I said, we don't have the location, but at least we have a date and a time, just so that people are aware of it and they can come and like I said, chat with EA members. It's a good networking thing. Also, just social. The social rest that Michelle was just speaking about, we can check in with each other and check in with ourselves. Last thing on the business of the day is our, so we had determined during our retreat this past summer, or wow, summer of 2025. That was so long ago, that we would have two hybrid meetings during our current session. We had our first one on December 17th. We are going to have our second one at the last meeting of our session. So it'll be our May meeting on May 13th. So that meeting, again, it'll be held hybrid. We haven't determined a location again, but that'll be coming. But if you can make it in person, that would be great. We're going to have lunch. If you can't make it in person, we totally understand. But yeah, we're, going to try and have a little more engagement other than just our little squares on Zoom. That is it for business of the day, my friends. We're going to move now into committee reports and Yvonne with the executive committee, please.
Yes, thank you. So we met last week and we talked about inviting different speakers for this spring 2026. We had a conversation about the coworker coffees and set up the first date. Talked about ways to fulfill the or fill the position, the health and safety representative position, and what are some ways that we can reach out to the greater Cornell community to advertise that as well. And we were able to come up with the hybrid dates or the hybrid meeting as well. I'm looking forward to connecting with our interim VPCHRO and setting up the meetings for this spring semester. Once we have those set, I'll make sure to share them with y'all. And if you have anything, any agenda items that you would like for us as the executive committee to bring to our liaison meeting, please share them with me. We'll go from there. That is all that I have for now. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Yvonne. Communications, Outreach, and Recognition Committee, Victoria.
Hi, everybody. We have adjusted our meeting time for this upcoming semester to ensure that we are including the subcommittee's availability. So we will be meeting on Thursdays on a monthly basis, starting on Thursday, January 29th. As Wendy said, we do have the date for our coffee hour for March. So we're going to have a February EA voice to promote that. And then we will have an April EA voice following that. Within the EA voice, we're going to be expanding the spotlight. So we'd like to include more of the EA membership and not just our committee members. And so I'd love to do a little call out for any volunteers. If you're interested in having your moment of spotlight in the upcoming EA voice, please feel free to reach out to me now or over email. Otherwise, I will be doing a randomized selection where I import all of your names into one of those little spinny wheels, and I will notify everyone who is selected so we can get their information. So if you have any questions about that, or again, if you have any interest, let me know. Otherwise, we're kind of just ready to start the semester.
Great. Thanks, Victoria. Now the Education and Development Committee, Deb.
Hi, everyone. This will be a very quick update. We have not yet met for the new year. We'll be meeting next week on Tuesday to talk about the things that we put forth that we want to focus on and sort of narrowing it down and seeing where we can move the needle on a couple of things. So I look forward to meeting with everyone next week and hopefully have more at the next assembly meeting. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Deb. Employee Welfare Committee, Marcy.
Hi, yes. We met last week. We discussed a number of things that came up. Park Mobile prices went up in the city. We discussed whether that was going up also in the on Cornell campus, whether it was affecting any employees as well. We didn't notice anything. Thanks to Beth for bringing that up. We discussed some elder care and resources. Michelle came to our meeting and that was really helpful. Gave us some great resources, some links, great discussion. Shared some information as well. We discussed staffing changes and supporting your team, ways we could do that. There is a monthly discussion group. I think it went out staff employee wide. There was something in a newsletter. Different resources. And then also discussed the president's address to the staff. Just some discussion about that. And then self-care practices, a lot of the links that Michelle also discussed. And then ways to give and ways to support each other. Our next meeting will be next week. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Marcy. Benefits and Policy Committee, Ellie.
Hi there. We didn't meet last month due to a conflict on my schedule, but we should be meeting in the first week of February. So we'll have an update then.
Great. Thanks, Ellie. And Elections Committee, Stephanie. Stephanie, are you still on?
Hi, sorry about that. I'm here. Constant technical difficulties. For elections committee, I've been working with the committee, and then I met with the Office of Assemblies to go through our draft elections calendar and our rules. And I believe it was February 4th. I worked with Yvonne to get on the schedule to present both the schedule and the rules to everyone here. So more to come very soon at our next meeting.
Spectacular. And also in conjunction with that, Stephanie, we will have information about the elections with the next EA voice. So either I'll coordinate with Victoria, or if you can coordinate with her to make sure that we have information about the elections, the seats that are up for our election, that sort of thing.
Awesome. Thank you.
And then our addition to the agenda, we're gonna bounce it over to Carl for the priority poll update with that committee.
Great, thank you. So the team met in late December to discuss items regarding additional questions, goals of the survey, and charge. We discussed accountability both in the reporting of the data and follow-up in the reporting of the data, and may bring some of that information to one of the next employee assembly meetings. But right now, the team and I are editing a document clearly outlining goals and any additional questions. There's some thought around being able to parse out some issues based on a few more qualifiers than we've had in the past, such as work mode and campus served, because we not only have in-person, remote, and hybrid people, but we also serve New York Tech, Geneva, and Ithaca campuses. So if we could parse out what different areas have different concerns, that may be an easier way for us to approach some issues. These questions will probably be optional to answer, but will be helpful in us assessing what's priority for us to and our committees to work on. We discussed privacy and anonymity, discussed Cornell login verification, but not recording the NetID data, and maybe having a separate link at the end of the survey that leads to the any potential raffle that we have giving out a small amount of money. I had to reschedule the second meeting, which was supposed to be held early in January for several reasons, but I've reached out to several campus constituents, including Cornell Statistical Consulting Unit and a meeting with the VCOPS to discuss funding later this week. And the second meeting will be coming up in the next few weeks.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Carl, for your work on that in such a short period of time.
Of course.
All right. We are going to move over to liaison reports now, the UA Campus Codes Committee. Ricky, do you have any updates for us?
No significant updates, just whatever we worked on last was a few resolutions to the UA. Nothing scheduled for this semester so far, but I'm sure something will come up.
Okay, yeah, I do know that the first UA meeting of the semester is next Tuesday, so there may be something coming down the pipe. I think there are resolutions that'll be coming to the floor in that meeting. UA Campus Committee on Infrastructure, Technology, and the Environment. I'm doing this by memory. I think it's Ellie is our representative.
Yeah, I think it's me. They sent a poll out for meetings a couple weeks ago, but then I didn't hear anything back, and they haven't been responsive to any follow-up emails. So I don't really know what's going on with them.
Okay, I'll try and reach out to them as well and see what's going on and get some more involvement. UA Campus Welfare Committee, I believe that's Danielle Hill.
Yeah, it's me. We
Yay!
haven't met yet in the new year, so I have nothing to report. Thanks.
All right. Campus Planning Committee, that would be either Kate or Mel.
We haven't met this semester.
All right, so no
No,
updates.
yeah, no update.
Transportation Hearing Appeals Board, Yvonne, do we have anything?
All right, no update.
All right, and Jeremy is not here, so I'm going to assume that there are no updates for the committee for campus constituency elected trustees. Danielle, any updates from Faculty Senate?
They called a special meeting this afternoon. I don't know what it's about. They haven't said. I'll report back at the next meeting.
Oh, okay. Cool. Good to know. All right, then. That wraps up our committee reports and liaison reports. We're going to move into open discussion before people start bouncing, because I've seen people are leaving because they have to other commitments. I did want to know under future events and reminders. We also have a special meeting scheduled for next Monday, the 26th, from 12 to 1. It's a listening session on the Student Code of Conduct and Procedures with Dean Marla Love. She's the Robert W. and Elizabeth C. Staley Dean of Students. Again, special meeting. We will not be taking attendance. It would be really helpful if you did attend, though, if you have questions or concerns, either from yourself or from your constituents, as to how the revision or the process of the Student Code of Conduct may impact you, your coworkers, your colleagues, your constituents, that sort of thing. As mentioned, our next EA meeting will be on February 4th. Stephanie will give us information about the spring elections. Our coffee coworker is on March 11th from 11 to 12, location to be determined. Please go ahead and we're going to ask work with Office of the Assemblies to extend our meeting a little bit on Wednesday, April 15th, because that will be our organizational meeting. That is the meeting that is held after elections are finished and we have our new members, and that will determine who are 2026 2027 executive committee will be and chairs of our committees. So it is strongly encouraged that you attend and plan on being there for the whole duration. And then lastly, as I mentioned earlier, we'll have our hybrid meeting, our last meeting of this session on Wednesday, May 13th. So I will open up the floor to anyone else if they have anything for open discussion. Please raise your hand to be recognized. Did everyone have a good break, at least, or a relaxing break? I'm seeing some head nods.
Was wonderful.
I'm
Thank you.
seeing some others who don't want a head nod because they needed a break from break and still need a break from break. All right, I get that. Well, I do hope that all of you did have some time to relax and chill a little bit if possible. Seeing that we have nothing for open discussion, I would be more than happy to welcome a motion to adjourn.
Motion
Motion
to
to
adjourn by
adjourn.
unanimous consent.
Seconded.
Do we have any dissent?
Wait, hold
Seeing
on
no
a second.
dissent.
I don't know.
Oh.
One second, Wendy. Alicia was speaking. I don't know if it was to bring a new topic or something different.
No, it was to
No, it was in my question about how was everyone's break. We're all good. There's no more
I see.
discussion. All
Okay.
right, so
Thank you,
the
though.
motion to adjourn by unanimous consent was put forth and seconded. Do I have any dissent? Seeing zero dissent, I am going to give you all 22 minutes of your day back. Woo! All right, I am calling this meeting adjourned. Enjoy your afternoon and see you either on Monday at the special meeting or on February 4th. Thank you all.